got his first win, isn't it? He's buzzing.
He's buzzing over there.
It's all good. It's all good.
3 points at Norwich.
We'll see where it goes.
Chelsea just kind of go on the radar slightly, doing their little thing.
Yeah, I mean, realistically speaking, if Liverpool and City take points off each other, we're right back in.
Oh, don't do it! Don't do it!
I can't believe that.
Had that shit from GS last week. Not having it. Title challenge.
Yeah, I mean, this is the same guy who wasn't having Tubby Abraham at the beginning of the season. So
frankly,
anything you say is
rubbish. The guy says one wrong thing and one, you know.
Was it just one wrong? You got it pretty badly wrong.
I mean, I think we need to kind of calm down. He's not scored for like three games. So
yeah, well, you know.
We might have seen the best of Tammy Abraham this season. You know what I mean? We might have had his little purple patch.
Oh, no, definitely a purple.
I think Tammy Abraham is he's leveled out.
Yeah. Oh, really? Oh, you do?
See, the thing is that every time Julian says this, he goes on a scoring run.
Keep on talking. Make sure the mic's on.
Tell me, Abraham. At this moment in the sun, I took my medicine. I apologised. I think.
Mate, I hope he bangs a hat trick this weekend.
Who have you got this weekend?
Ah, I can't even remember.
Chelsea.
See, winning just comes natural to them. They don't even care who their opponents are anymore.
we got Watford away.
Oh, fuck it then. Yeah, we'll definitely.
Oh, but he's definitely banging a hat trick now, isn't he?
We're going for Leicester's record.
Do you know what? Unless Mitchy has something to say about it. Mitchy.
Oh. You never know. But the thing is, if he levels out as top scorer in the league, we'll take that.
Nah, man, there's some real gunmen in this league. He ain't leveling out. As top scorer, mate.
I'll be honest, I'll still keep Tammy on the pitch because, as much as I love Mishy's goal, he tried very, very hard not to score against that.
That result impressed me, to be fair. That result did impress me.
Well, that's what Frank said, is that's the bar now. So, you know, Pulisic has suddenly started scoring out of nowhere as well. Yes. So
what are they calling him? Captain America?
Yeah, my mate.
Oh, Captain America. Captain America.
He doesn't even start every game for America.
Yeah, is the captain?
No, he did. But they take him. Last time he was in tears when they took him off.
Yeah, he's not like a regular. Maybe now he's like. But when I last checked about 6 months ago, he wasn't like.
I'll be honest.
Definite starter for the American team.
The American Chelsea fans began absolutely stare at the fact he's not been starting.
Yeah, they've been. Yeah. Just American fans in general.
Oh, for Chelsea or for America?
For Chelsea.
I follow like.
They clearly don't follow Chelsea. I'm going to say this.
Backing up my man Frank. It's man management. He's been talking about it this week. He didn't want to start him too early because he played, what was it, like 74 games or something ridiculous.
Yeah, I'm not having it. Luck.
You think it's luck?
Luck.
Yeah, of course you do, don't you?
Pure luck.
Don't worry, we'll talk about your guys.
It was totally planned and he happened to score a hat trick. Get out of here, man.
Has Unai managed to recover all of his players? Does he think they're all human again?
Oh, wow. On that note, we should probably kick off. It's the Football Fans Podcast with myself, Jordan. I have regular Chelsea fan, as you heard there, G, with us. G, what are you saying?
Yeah, what? I mean, I'm getting bored of saying I'm good, but...
Once again,
I'm good.
Whatever, man. Yeah, but further to last week, I think on last week's show, I went a little bit too sycophantic, not the right word, but I went a bit too heavy on the praise of Frank Lampard. So I'd like to retract. I was in agreement with what you were saying, and you were going in heavy. And I listened back to the show, and I was a bit like, I'm going to reserve judgment for Lampard.
So we get another win. And another two wins.
Two impressive away wins. Yeah, fair enough.
Sounds like a bit saying.
He's doing a good job. Cool. But I'm just you know.
That's all we need. He's doing a good job.
I'm talking about, I'm hearing about, future England manager. And I'm like, get out of here, man.
Bro, Southgate's the England manager.
The bar is lower, to be fair.
It's true. But Sam Allardyce is in the ring.
It's true.
He still has 100% win record.
It's true, I'll take that back. We've also got returning Arsenal fan here, Basil. What are you saying, Basil?
So after Monday, I took annual leave from football.
Annual
leave from football. And then after yesterday, I've signed off on stress. So that's where I'm at.
Don't worry, we've all been there. Today could be your therapy. Let it all out.
You know what? To be fair, this week... We're gonna focus on Arsenal quite heavily. We had a third guest booked who cancelled quite late on, And he's an Arsenal fan as well, so I don't know if Arsenal is just killing people right about now. People don't want to talk about Arsenal. But he's a really good guest, so I want to get him on in the next couple of weeks, and we will do that. But yeah, only kind of one place to start, I guess. Arsenal, Basil, you've not been on for a while, so let me let you kick off. Big story of the weekend, Arsenal 2-2 draw, having led 2-0 against Crystal Palace at home. VAR controversy, 2-0 up, 2-2. Goals, we thought we'd won it, didn't win it, whatever. But the big talking point of the day was obviously the Arsenal captain, Granit Xhaka, and his antics slash the fan reaction.
Yeah,
I'm not going to go through what happened. If you haven't seen it by now, then you don't like football. And you're not following
just
football.
Arsenal.
I've got this kind of bit of section kind of marked out into three or four different sections within itself. What did you make, first of all, of what happened with Granit Xhaka and the fans' reaction to it?
See, I take the opposite view of what most people say. I don't have a problem with fans booing. I personally don't boo people. As long as it doesn't go to abuse where you've crossed the line, I don't mind booing, because ultimately, if you pay for a service and you're not getting your value, you have the right to express how you feel. And for most fans, they boo on the pitch. That's the way of expressing it. So I don't have a problem with fans booing. I don't see where the whole thing comes off. It's a disgrace. It's not respectful. How do you motivate the players? If you're not happy about something, express it. And if you want to boo, boo. So I didn't really have a problem with fans booing. I may have had a problem with maybe some of the abuse, probably, that some of the fans have given Granit Xhaka. Not just on Sunday, but prior to that. But the booing is all part and parcel. And for me, so if you don't have the mental strength to handle just booing, it shows a lot about your character. And it shows, for me, you shouldn't be playing for certain big clubs, because there's a lot of pressure when you're playing for certain clubs.
So hold that thought. I'll let you finish. But just while you mentioned the booing thing there, I was very much in agreement with what you've just said about booing. I don't have a problem with booing per se. We did a show, I think, last year on whether fans should be, so to say, allowed, you can do what you want, but whether it's the right thing to do or not.
Yeah.
And I was on the side of the fence that I said that I think fans can boo. I don't have a problem with it myself. And then I kind of thought to myself, okay, I put myself in his shoes, in the individual's shoes.
Yeah.
He's the captain of the club.
Yeah.
It's 2-2. You've just been subbed.
Yeah.
And 60,000 or 55,000 men and women.
Yeah.
Are booing you.
Yeah.
Okay, it wasn't everybody, but it was the majority of the stadium that were booing him.
Yeah.
I thought to myself, my first thought was, there's a really good photo on the skysports.com website where it catches a silent photo where he's walking off, and you can see behind him, there's some of the medics and the second, third, fourth team coach looking at him as he's walking off, as everyone was.
Yeah.
I thought to myself, he must feel really embarrassed. He must feel really, really, really embarrassed.
Yeah.
You've got to walk into the changing rooms. You've got to see the tea lady, the kit man, all the extended staff.
Yeah.
And as a captain, you're embarrassed. So booing, I thought to myself, is booing actually cool? Is it? I'm kind of changed my mind on whether booing actually is cool or not.
It is fine. Here's the thing. I don't have a problem with even Granit Xhaka's reaction, because he's human. And as humans, you react in different ways. And at that moment, he's upset that ultimately, he wasn't responsible for Arsenal not winning that game. And as many people said, he's been made a scapegoat for that game. And so when you're coming off and you're being booed by your fans for something that isn't necessarily your fault, I understand the emotions. I understand the reaction. I really don't have a problem with Granit Xhaka's reaction. The only problem I have is that he's captain and he should know better than to do that. If he wasn't captain, I don't have a problem with that. I would have said, yeah, by all means, express yourself in the way you want to express yourself, if that's the kind of reaction you're getting for coming off the pitch.
Arsenal have got form in booing their own players as well. Aboué was booed.
Yep.
I've heard Ozil booed by Arsenal fans.
Yep.
Theo Walcott, I've heard booed. Hector Bellerin, I've heard booed whilst playing.
The manager
we know has been booed. Ramsey got it. Iwobi got it. So Arsenal have got
form in this. Let's not play it down. It's not just boo. Because people can deal with boo. There's boos, there's F-offs, in cases of like Adebayor, there's thinly veiled racist elements to it as well. And Arsenal do have a history of doing this. And you know what, not, I mean, it happens at most clubs. But Arsenal seem out of the big clubs in terms of people who turn on their own players or ex players.
Arsenal are probably the worst.
And so I haven't. Like Basil said, I haven't necessarily got a problem with the reaction because I'm not. Because, like, when Adebayor ran down the pitch and kind of put his arms out to the Arsenal fans, I thought that was great.
He did more than put his arms.
Everyone else would have like, it was, oh, you know, he's whipped up a stir. I thought that was great. I think if you can give it, you can. If you can take it, you can give it, yeah? Mm-hmm. So, but at the same time, well, I think what Basil said is spot on. As the club captain, like, you're supposed to be like a spokesperson, you know, an ambassador for the club. And as an ambassador, you can't behave like that. You have that responsibility.
Let's go back one step before we get to the actual what he did. Yeah. It's important to be clear that he wasn't actually being booed for his performance. He was being booed because he was walking off the pitch slowly.
So
that's why he was being booed.
There were
ironic cheers before the boos.
But there was some small boos and ironic cheers because he was coming off. And Arsenal have performed. They did it, I think, Tim, the last match he came off, where they cheered him for coming off, which I don't really have a problem with. It's all part of the banter of the sport.
Yeah.
But
it's your own player.
But then at the same time, the walking off was, for me, was the added insult.
Mm.
Because it's 2-2, Arsenal are
need a
they're
goal.
Passionate, they need a goal, and to see your captain do that, I think that just escalated the situation.
So when you say do that, do you mean walk off very slowly or the reaction to the booing?
No, walking off slowly because it showed a lack of urgency. Okay. And when you're already not on the side of the fans, you don't want to create more trouble for yourself. And so then when he did that and then the hands came up and all the antics started happening, it was just the end for him.
The shirt hit the ground.
Yeah. So... Do you think what he did was out of order, or do you understand? And if that was you, do you understand why he lashed out the way he lashed out?
I think everyone's out of order in this case, 100%. And it's one of those things. You know, I think you could even go back to Emery. I know it's a difficult one to say. Like you can never substitute someone who's your captain, but you know there's an extra, as well as the extra responsibility in being captain, there's an extra weight on subbing a captain. It always looks worse.
Henderson often gets subbed.
Yeah, he does.
This is not like back in the day where your John Terry's and your Steven Gerrard played 90 minutes of it. When you need to come off.
When you need to win a game, I think it does. I mean, don't give me. You know what? You're right. That Henderson is the other example. But remember, Henderson almost got into it with Klopp when he got taken off once. You don't remember that?
That's true.
There's a bit of extra. And the thing is, he's not someone who's going to play. Why is he captain anyway?
We'll get to the captain in a minute, Emery.
That's the bigger issue. For me, I blame Emery more than anything.
We'll get to Emery in a bit because I know your thoughts on Emery. I want to just go through the timeline of what actually happened and work out from you guys who the protagonist here was. Was it the fans or was it Xhaka?
I guess that's my point. Like, you know, looking at the bigger picture, the protagonist was Emery. But if I look at the...
I agree with you.
You know what I'm saying? But if I look at that incident, then the fans were the protagonist. But just because you're the protagonist doesn't mean someone has to respond.
So do you feel, Basil, that we're kind of moving into this idea that we're moving away from supporters supporting your club through whatever happens, bad times, really bad times, and Man United times? Or do you think we're moving into this era where fans are, because they're paying so much money now to watch their football games, they feel a sense of ownership and entitlement?
I mean, if you hit Man United levels, then you might as well just pack it all
away. No, you guys are going to tell us what you
want. I'm going to say we'll give United a week off this week. To be fair to United, we'll give them a week off this week. So it's Arsenal's week this week.
Arsenal are really isolated case compared to everyone else. I think the reason why, because Arsenal have seen so many players come in and honestly just steal a living at Arsenal, and you haven't really seen the improvement from the players. You haven't really seen the passion really from the players, because they've accepted mediocrity at that club. And I think the reason why Arsenal are a different case to everyone else is that their voices are not being heard. Their opinions are not being heard. They're paying a lot of money and they're not really seeing the investment back in the club.
I'd push back on that and say I think Arsenal fans are the loudest group of fans out there.
They are, but they're not seeing the change. And I think that's the reason why we're seeing the reaction from the fans, because it's been like 15 years now that this has been going on, where they're looking upstairs and wondering where are we going, we're spending all this money, all the promises that you made have been broken. And really and truly, it's still the same case now.
What promises have been made that's been broken?
I think the fact that we're going to compete with the likes of Bayern Munich, we're going to have this war chest of money, and all of those type of promises, you know, and even sometimes saying that we have the calibre of club, the calibre of players to compete for titles when clearly we do not. And all of those, it gets to you after a while, because it gets to the point where you think we're being taken for fools, and we're not fools. Because we're educated individuals who work in good jobs, so we understand what's going on. But it's all those broken promises, and it's just coming to a head right now.
Do you have any sympathy at all for Xhaka? There's been reports that, you know, three members of the team went to visit him the following day.
He's in the stress zone.
On a human level, do you feel like he's bearing the brunt? And the word scapegoat was used earlier on. Do you feel like he's the new Theo Walcott? He's the new Aaron Ramsey?
Theo Walcott getting...
I think Theo Walcott got it worse than this.
Do you think?
Yeah, wow. Theo Walcott
maybe
got
I've
it
got
bad.
Short memories.
He got it really bad. But regardless, do you have any sympathy for him in that, okay, his reaction was bang out of order. I mean, we all agree he can't captain the club again, right? He can't captain the club. Okay.
He will captain the club again, but...
but he shouldn't. I'm with you there. But do you have any sympathy at all for Granit Xhaka in this situation?
Nah. I mean,
his own fans turning on him like that.
No, but it... What, don't get me wrong. I'm not... I agree everything that the fans have been bad, but I don't sympathise with him over this. Like, to a certain extent, this is part and parcel of being a footballer. You will get... ripped, you will get abused, you will have bad days.
Not by your own fans?
Yeah, by your own fans.
That's what's different here. It's one thing when other fans are killing you or the media are killing you, justly or unjustly, but when the people are supposed to be your people,
that's the reason why I blame Emery, but I'll wait.
We'll get to Emery, don't worry about that.
But the biggest issue is this, is that we've seen Granit Xhaka's weaknesses, and week in, week out, he hasn't improved. So at some point, when you're not improving and you're playing week in, week out, the fans are going to turn on you at some point. Yeah. So for me, I said the onus is on the player to say, how do I change my game? Mm. How do I improve myself to make sure that I'm better on the pitch and help the team to improve? And the things that Granit Xhaka has been part of the problem and has not been willing to change his ways. So even like some of the rash tackles he does, after a while you just say, I stopped tackling. But he continues to do it. After a while you say, I position myself better to prevent attacks. But he doesn't do it. And even... he's one of those players who's scared to receive the ball. Like, he doesn't distribute the ball well when he's under pressure. And I look at that, what do you do in training? You train 5 to 6 times a week. At what point do you say to yourself, I need to improve?
This is all kind of leading back to Emery though, isn't it? This is coaching, this is tactics.
As individuals, you put in the extra work when things aren't going your way. And the issue with Arsenal's really, for me, is like an old home's, a place for like, you know, comparing it to like an old person's home, where you go there, you're in your final days, you're going there just to relax and rest. And a lot of players go there and they're in their comfort zone.
I hear you. Final one on an appeal for sympathy, G. We'll do this. I'm just trying to make it balanced here because everyone's killing him. We'll do another show on this and widen it out beyond Arsenal. But how much of a role do you feel that social media and podcasts like this and fan channels are having a bearing on footballers and how they must feel? Because we can all say that what he did was wrong and he deserves to be stripped of the captaincy, all that sort of stuff. But I saw Arsenal Fan TV, just name them. We all saw it after the game.
Yeah.
All the fans are emotional, hilarious, passionate. Yeah. And everyone knows Robbie's my guy. And I do stuff with them and I've got a lot of time for what they do and they've come a long way. But just generally, again, if you're Granit Xhaka, and he blatantly watches Arsenal Fan. They all watch Arsenal Fan TV. I'm not having it. They all watch
it. Fairness, just that's what you say. Robbie was actually one of his biggest sympathizers.
He was the only one. Yeah. And
he
I'm just wondering.
Up against the tide,
he really was. I was wondering if you're Granit Xhaka, or if you're Marcus Rashford, because it was him a couple of weeks ago. If you're someone at Tottenham that's been poor, Ali has been poor for a while, and you're watching the vitriol and the hatred and the FUs and the anger from it's one thing from everybody else, but from your own supporters.
You're not having it. In Italy, ultras beat people up. A guy got killed for scoring an own goal in a World Cup. Remember that? And these guys can't take a quick 1-2 word on a podcast. I forget that, man.
Granted, I tried. I'm with you, by the way. You know what I mean? It's not like they're being racially abused or they're being physically abused. As much as horrible as it is, it's booing.
Ronaldo was booed by his own fans on one game, scored a goal, and then went to do that to them. Went to give them the shush.
Yeah. Drogba was getting pelted by some guy and scored a goal against you off his shin. One of the luckiest goals you've ever seen.
He went and looked
at the guy. I was like, you, I told you.
He pointed him out. No statement from Granit Xhaka still. There's been a press conference by Unai Emre today. I'm watching it over your heads. It's coming on Sky Sport News. I've not actually seen the lines have come out of it, but is he almost digging himself a bigger hole by the fact that he hasn't put out a statement
Definitely. Within
24 hours?
Once you lose the fans, you've lost it at the club. You need to get the fans back on side. Now, even if you don't want to apologise, you just have to apologise. Mm. Because the issue is that when he next comes on the pitch, what's the reaction going to be? Especially if he has a bad game.
Yeah.
So at least apologise. And I feel like even if you do apologise, some of the fans will understand, okay, maybe we took it a bit too far with the abuse and the booing. And maybe we're willing to extend the hand of forgiveness to you.
And just before we get into Emery, how badly have the club managed this as well? Because if you're Arsenal, do you feel like you should be telling Granit Xhaka, look, no, you're going to put out a statement. I don't care if you mean it or not, but you're the club captain. You've got to put out a statement.
This is the thing, and I think we just need to get onto Emery because that's it. It's poor management. He's come out. And he's kind of almost sitting on the fence about it, you know? And it's kind of like, yeah, but, you know, he did this and he did that. And it's kind of like, he needs to just take a firm, steady stance on it and say, look, this is the situation. Here he is next to me. Apologise. Go on, apologise. With him next to you.
Do it.
And then later on, you could talk about whether the fans are wrong or we all need to stick together and all this type of stuff.
But damage limitation, first of all.
Yeah, exactly. I just don't... The longer he doesn't apologise, the more we're talking about it. Yeah. So the more weight it adds on it. And then now, even when he does apologise, like you're saying, anything. No one's going to care. People are going to think, okay, he's only apologised now because he's bowed to the pressure. F him, and then you've got this friction.
So on Emery, you mentioned at the start there that you think he's the bigger problem in all this. Just going back, just before we get to on Emery, I think the captain thing you alluded to at the start as well. My personal view is that there's been a lot of talk in the last 6 months or since actually he's been given the captain's armband about why he's got it. And I think to myself, or a lot of the fury from the fans about Granit Xhaka being the Arsenal captain for me is wasted energy because I don't see a captain at Arsenal. So for me, it's much of a muchness. It doesn't really matter to me if Xhaka's got the captain's armband. People are acting like Xhaka's got it over Vieira or he's got it over Tony Adams. Well, there's not a captain at the club. So,
In fairness, you've got David Luiz here who came from a...
He's not a captain.
He came from a proper dressing room. he wouldn't be a captain for us. but surely for you guys, you've also been the standout captain.
Dressing room. I'm pretty sure you guys have had more issues.
Leave him. Man beating out his teammate's wife. And don't even try that one.
Yeah, he was a captain. That's what I was like.
We say privileges, yeah?
It's a compete.
It's hierarchy.
Oh, wow. That is loose. Man say, know your role, you know. Hand her over, allow it.
There are no captains at Arsenal, which is why he put it to a vote. I don't understand a system when you're asking players to vote for a captain, but I guess people are doing it differently. But the bigger issue is that your captain usually starts the majority of the games that he plays. And Arsenal have been wayward for a number of years. They had Mertesacker as captain. He wasn't playing games. I didn't understand the logic. Arteta too. There was a stage as captain. He wasn't playing games.
I don't agree with the whole you got to play thing to be a captain.
No, but my issue is that when we saw Granit Xhaka as captain, it sent out a statement that he's going to play majority of games in that midfield, which we have seen. Mm. And I think that is what angered the Arsenal fans the most. The fact that they didn't want him in the team in the first place.
Let alone captain.
But now they have to be. We've seen him week in, week out in that starting lineup.
So on Emery, I know, there's been a lot of, even before Monday and the Sheffield United loss, to be fair, there's been people turning and they've made their mind up that he's not the guy to take us forward. The two last games haven't helped at all. His management so far of the situation hasn't helped either. First of all, are you Emery out? If you was in charge, would you fire him tomorrow?
Oh, I would fire him, yes. Why waste time? Who's got time to be wasted? Wow. I mean, the more time you're giving, the more money you're wasting because we're not making top four with him.
You don't think?
Not in the slightest. Not in the slightest.
Tell me why you're Emery.
See, there's many things. So the first thing is that I look at his man management of players. And I look at, even when you look at the Boué situation, Arsenal bought on a Boué. He was booed. Even before he really kicked the ball, after his first mistake, the Arsenal fans turned on him. Then after what Arsenal had to take him out of that situation. And I don't even think he even started the next game. The bigger issue is that Emery seen the abuse and the criticism Xhaka has received, not just from this season, but from previous season, but continues to throw him in the lion's den. I'm like, at what point do you protect your player and realise the fans aren't on his side? Let's leave him out for a bit and start to phase him in certain games. Emery's created this situation with Xhaka, which is why I blame him more than anything. But I think the bigger issue is that he's not good enough to manage a big club. He's the type of manager to manage like a club from 8th to about 16th in the league.
I want to do it so badly.
No, honestly. And the reason why is because of his pragmatism on the pitch. We don't even dominate against the smaller teams. I mean, I think Crystal Palace had more possession than us in the game that we played on Sunday. Wow. They had more opportunities in front of goal than us on the game on Sunday. And it's been a running theme, especially since the beginning of the season. We played Newcastle and Burnley the first two games of the season. We struggled against those teams and they were shocking, absolutely shocking on those days. And I knew from then that was going to be the way our season was going to run.
Yeah, the guys.
You didn't ask me if I was Emeryan, because I'm firmly Emeryan.
You know why you're Emeryan. But it is making Lampard look like Jose Mourinho.
He is. Early Jose, not Jose. not United Jose. One of my issues with, I mean, I'm still Emeryan, and I'm sticking to my stance.
Do you think these men just too much opportunity?
High five,
Jules.
I'm in because I'm sticking to my stance that I had when he first came in. That whoever came in, whether I wanted them appointed or not, needs at least 2 years to do all the things that I've spoken about
Lampard's
on this podcast
had 3 months.
Before. Yeah, but I think it's Lampard's doing well, and I think there's a dip coming Lampard's way. Don't worry about that. But I think just because Lampard's doing well, I don't think you should measure that up against Emery. Lampard, I think the transfer ban, in a really perverse way, has helped Chelsea because he can just focus on coaching.
But George,
he's got better players. No, but he's got to worry about transfers, ins,
but
outs.
But George, I'm not having that because you were talking about we're going to finish mid-table.
Me? You were saying that me or Josh?
But everyone was saying that Lampard is in this disastrous position at the beginning of the season. So now he's doing well. Let's not take it away from him. He's done a good job.
He's doing a good job.
At the end of the day, Emery, if you look at, and we were talking about this downstairs, you look at Lampard and you look at Brendan Rodgers, you look at Emery, who came in a stronger position? Emery had the strongest position out of those three managers, and he's doing the worst job. He's had the more time. He's got arguably got, in terms of talent, better players, and he's doing the worst job.
They've come in and they've got a philosophy and a structure on the pitch. Arsenal, I don't know what identity is.
I'm not, like I say, fully praising Lampard yet. He's doing a brilliant job so far. But I don't think we should say, because Lampard's doing really well, that Emre should be...
What I'm saying is that there you have your benchmark, because people will always use the excuse, oh, managers need time, managers need this. What you've got an example of is a manager who joined in Rodgers just before, and not just Lampard, in Rodgers, just before the end of last season, and you could already see what he's trying to achieve, even if it's not perfect, and it's achieving results as well. You can see it in Lampard, see what they're trying to achieve. Not perfect yet, but it's getting results. What's Emre's excuse? He has no excuse. He's had the windows. He's got good players.
I don't think he has had the windows yet, honestly. I think when Emery came in, he had to get rid of 11 players. There's still 4 or 5 there that need to go. There's still 4. That's a fact. Xhaka needs to go. Ozil needs to go.
George, how many windows do you get nowadays?
Well, it depends what club. It depends what club you are.
It's not about the windows.
The first thing you've got to do is get his players in.
It's about the style you implement first to say this is the structure and the way we're playing. Arsenal, we have none of that. So even when we brought in Pepe, but the style of play, he's confused because there's no creativity whatsoever in that midfield. So he's trying to do a Liverpool is like the front three create magic and the rest do what you have to do. There's no structure in place. So even if you bring in players, they're like, well, what's the identity at Arsenal? What style of player are we going to play at Arsenal? That's the first thing you implement at a club when you go in. So at least everyone knows, okay, going forward, I see what he's trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen that in Lampard. We've seen that in Rodgers. We haven't seen that in Emery whatsoever. And he's been there for over a year now. So there's absolutely no excuse whatsoever.
I think it's hard to disagree with what you're saying. My thing is, I still feel there's four or five key players or heavily involved players in that team mm-hmm. that he needs to get out. But until he gets his players in, his team in, I find it difficult to judge. I'm with you on the fact of it's becoming, I'm not going to lie, it's becoming very hard week in, week on to defend him, because I totally understand the fear from the fans that they're not seeing the defending improve. Yeah. They're not seeing the attack improve. They're not seeing a way. I totally get all that. Mm. So I'm with the fans, and I get why the fans are so angry and some have turned.
Yeah.
But I keep saying it every week on this podcast. People, I think, are underestimating the unvengerizing of Arsenal that needs to be done. And whether you're Klopp, Pep or Emery, that's a lot of unvengerizing to do. Okay. It's a culture of being losers and being soft that I think needs more than four windows.
Okay, but on individual players, you look at like Rodgers with Jamie Vardy.
Mm-hmm.
And when Rodgers first came, it looked as if Jamie Vardy was going to, you know, his goals slowed up a little bit. He wasn't really sitting into the way that they play football. But he made adjustments and he changed it. If you ask any Chelsea fan from last year, they would have told you that there were four or five players that needed to go.
Yeah.
They would have told you that Willian needed to go. Yeah. They would have told you that Jorginho needed to go.
Four or five different to like 9, 10, 11.
But what I'm saying is, if you look at the players now, they are different under different management. And Lampard is actually, who's a much less experienced manager than Emery, by the way, has actually turned players around and is getting the best out of their attributes. So what I'm saying is, no one gets this chance to change 10 players and get everything their own way. It doesn't work like that, unless you're maybe Pep. What Emery has to do things with the players that he has now, and like I've said, he started with a better baseline with a lot of managers and still not achieving.
Yeah, like even what to add, like you look at Lampard, he's brought Mason Mount. He's brought in Tomori, he's brought in Tammy Abrahams, and they've slotted in perfectly into that team. They're looking like quality players. Emery's trying to bring in Willock, Nelson, Saka. It's not working out. So even if you compare what he's doing to Lampard, Lampard's getting the best, or it's getting more out of the young players that he's just brought into the team, more than Emery is. And Emery's been there for over a year. So that's the thing. My issue is about Emery's coaching and Emery's preparations for game. It's shocking, and you can clearly see it on the pitch.
It's another reason why a lot of Arsenal fans want him out, is because he just doesn't seem to be very likeable, or he doesn't seem to kind of translate any kind of charisma's the wrong word. I don't buy into the thing you have to be overly charismatic to be liked, but he just doesn't seem very warm.
I don't even think so. I think it's more of the fact that offensively we've got worse, and defensively we've got worse.
But I mean him personally. I think if he was doing what he's doing, but he was at least a bit likable, that might warm more with us. Do you know what I mean?
This is Arsenal fans we're talking about.
If it was Ray Parley, you're saying.
No, Ray Parley.
This is Arsenal. There's no pleasing Arsenal.
I think if he had Klopp's personality, would that buy more time?
I think that would anger the Arsenal fans even more. Because I think they'll see what they're seeing on the pitch and seeing a jolly fella in interviews, and they would absolutely lose their rank because of like, what's there to be smiling about?
Fair enough. Another thing that I struggle to defend him on, G, is that he seems to be, lying's a bit strong, but he seems to be sending out mixed messages to the fans. So in one press conference, he'll say one thing and then do another thing. And then he'll say, I'm going to play this guy, but then not play him. I'm going to play this system and then not. I'm going to be a pragmatist. His very first press conference, he was very big on saying, I'm going to be a pragmatist. We've not seen that in a year and 10 games. So I find it difficult also defending when it's like you're saying one thing and then doing another thing.
Well, his whole dossier or manifesto when he came in was about coaching and developing and getting the best out of the players that are there. That's why I'm not having kind of the excuse where he needs to get rid of 10 players, because I'm sure when he came in and when he's gone on that interview, you know, and he's got his PowerPoint up or whatever it is, he's probably told people like, I can do this, I can develop, I can coach, I can get these players to a larger extent playing in a certain way and given the chance to make some additions. But the thing is, he's had additions. He's had Luiz. He's had Guendouzi. You know, like
Socrates.
It's not the days of where you can like Football Manager and you can just go on the transfer list and buy who you want. Like no one is getting that privilege anymore, apart from maybe City.
Arsenal have said Arsenal are concerned. Say again. There's reports that Arsenal are concerned there'll be an exodus at the club if they don't get top four this year. Lacazette and Aubameyang, I think, have got a year and a half on their contract. Yeah. If we don't get Champions League football this year, they'll have a year left. They're going to be gone next summer. You don't think you'll get top four, even despite United being United and Spurs being Spurs. It seems a little bit, and that's another reason why I can't defend him, because top four this year seems like a bit of an open goal.
It is.
Do you know what I mean? So do you don't think you'll get top four, and you think the club will? If it looks like that nearer to the end of the season, they'll pull the trigger? Do you think regardless, they'll stick with him?
I don't think the club will pull the trigger. I don't think the club have it in them to pull it. Like, it wouldn't be surprising that even if they don't get top four, they extend him for, they trigger that 1 year extension. That
I think it's only triggered if they get Champions League football.
It's only if they get Champions League.
I think so, yeah.
Okay, I can't see Arsenal sacking him before this season ends. No one upstairs has it in them to do it, if I'm being brutally honest. He will be there to the end, but it's going to be another toxic environment at Arsenal, as we've seen under the final years under Wenger. And I just don't know about Emery. Honestly, I'm lost for words. Like I said, that's the reason why I've taken stress leave from Arsenal.
Would you say Wenger back?
Don't even answer that question. Finally, G.
At this point, it looks like the better.
In the next few games, can he turn it around? Is there anything he can do to turn this around? Or do you think the damage has been done and he's a ticking time bomb now before he goes, whether it's now or in May?
I'm trying to help you out, Jordan, and give you some. But I think there are clear things which are obvious which can be done. I'm just not sure he's the man to do it. So, no.
Yikes. Okay, cool. Let's move on. So, Leicester were mentioned earlier on as an example of a team that's doing very well at the moment. And let's have a quick chat about Leicester. Before we get into our Leicester chat, let's invite Leicester supporter Jamie to the show. Jamie, how are you doing, my friend?
Yeah, very well. Thanks, guys.
Cheers for coming on the pod, mate. 9-0 winners, breaking records out here and helping me out big time on Fantasy Football League. Was you there, first of all, on Friday?
No, unfortunately, I didn't make it down to the game. To be honest, I thought Friday night away at Southampton wouldn't exactly been the most box office game. But, how wrong was I?
Indeed.
Wish I had been. I managed to watch it at a sports bar in Leicester, and the atmosphere was pretty good, but not quite the same, I'd imagine.
Let's just get to it. Can Leicester finish top two?
No.
Why not?
I'd love to say yes. I mean, you can never say never, can you? I mean, Leicester themselves proved that pretty emphatically 1 year. But Man City and Liverpool are almost playing in their own little league. I think I think they've got the squads, the depth in their team to sort of sustain every season. We're doing very, very well, and we're playing some brilliant stuff. But we're 10 games in, so I think me and most Leicester fans just trying to temper expectations ever so slightly.
If somebody gave you top six right now, would you take it?
Yes. Oh, yes. I think about it, but yes. I mean, mainly because I said at the start of the season, top six in European football was success. And it feels slightly greedy to differentiate between Europa League and Champions League at this point. But look, I think outside of that, you'd be very disappointed from this position.
I'm a really big fan of Pereira. I think he's the most underrated player in the Premier League. I really like him, and I'm surprised nobody went in for him in the summer. How good? Tell us a little bit about his strengths and his skill sets. And if you do get Champions League football next season, do you think you will be able to keep hold of him?
You're absolutely right. I think a lot of people have spoken about the likes of Madison, Chilwell. Like indeed he'd been linked with these big moves, but Pereira is the one that worries me almost the most in that there's not really a great amount of top quality fullbacks out there at the moment, and he's an absolutely outstanding player. Going forward, he's brilliant with the ball at his feet. He's very quick, controls it very well. The sort of give and go is a simple skill, but one that he does fantastically well. But he's also very good in defence as well. I think it's only Ndidi that tops the tackle stats ahead of him, and he does break up play very well. So he's one of those that can do it at both ends of the pitch, and And Rodgers' system puts a lot of emphasis on the fullbacks. They see a lot of the ball. And I think it's no surprise that we're doing very well with the likes of Pereira in the side.
And just finally, Jamie, you've got Palace, Arsenal and Brighton next. Are you expecting 9 points from those three games and really looking to solidify yourselves in the top four between now and December?
They're a very big three games. I think you're right. You want to head into that festive period doing well. Palace are an absolute bogey team for us for some reason. I think in the last four games, the aggregate score is 13-1 to Palace or something. It is genuinely that ridiculous. So
wow.
No, seriously. Even wow. Benteke manages to pop up with a goal against us. It's got that bad. But I think you're right. These are the games that you want to be winning. Palace and Arsenal 5th and 6th. It would open that gap up quite nicely if we could. If you offer me 5 or... if you offer me 6 points out of those three, I'd bite your hand off.
Jamie, just come on the pod. Thanks for your time, pal.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, mate. Jamie there, Leicester City supporter. Sounding very sprightly, sounding very happy. 9-0 win on Friday. I don't know what happened.
Making our 4-1 win look bad.
yeah, totally mucked it up there. I asked Jamie there if he thinks they can get top two. That might sound like a bit of an outrageous question. I mean, they're not going to win the league because I think that they're coming above City and Liverpool. That is a stretch.
And Chelsea.
I don't know how you've etched yourselves in this title race all of a sudden. But do you feel that top four is realistic? And if, you know, the way they're going, the way Arsenal, Spurs and United are going, are they looking at top four minimum now?
No, I wouldn't say
still too early.
I think top four would be a big achievement. I think they will be in the mix. I guess the sensible head of me says that one of the also-rans, and I'm including you guys in the also-rans, will at some point pull a little run together. I think it will be whether Leicester can sustain the pressure kind of like at, you know, March, April time. So I think I'd say Leicester will probably finish. We'll probably finish 5th. I'm thinking,
okay.
But I think that'll be.
Who do you think will get 4th?
I think in the end, when the turmoil was finished,
go on, G. Go on, G.
I hate to say it.
Go on, G.
I hate to say it, but I think Tottenham will get in 4th.
You're a prick. You're a prick. Basil, I read that Southampton gave a day all all the players' wages for that week to their Southampton Foundation, which on the face of it is a really, really nice gesture to do. You know, we got smashed, we should give up our wages. But I was thinking to myself, does that set a dangerous precedent in terms of, if you know, if teams and players giving their wages away for a poor performance? Where does that end? You know, what level of defeat warrants giving your wages up? Do you think it was a good thing to do? 9-0, you should do that? Or do you think that opens the floodgates to, well, 8-0, do we give it? 7-0, do we give it? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think it's better because it's like saying defeat warrants a charitable case. I would have just fined each and every one of them 2 weeks' wages and put in the club's coffers, just letting them. Because in the end, it shows you that even if you lose, you can still do good out of it. There's no good out of a 9-0 home defeat against Leicester.
Bad, isn't it?
I mean, we're not talking... It wasn't City or Liverpool. I could sort of give them a blight if it was one of those cities. It was Leicester who... Yeah, they're a good team, but they're not the greatest of teams to lose 9-0 to. It was a shocking performance. And at some point, you just have to... When it hits 5, you say we just... You become disciplined and say no more goals after that. But it was just wave after wave of attacking that was gaining.
What do you think is their potential this year? Who's
Southampton or Leicester?
Leicester.
I think top 6 is achievable. Whether they get top 4, it depends on... It depends on how they finish the back end of the season. That's the thing. Because obviously the more experienced teams, the Tottenhams, the Arsenal, they know what to do when it comes to the business end of the season.
Mm.
Leicester are still fairly new and we know how Brendan Rodgers has collapsed while he was at Liverpool.
Oh,
in the back end of the season.
Let's get that one in there. You know? Jesus.
Because in fairness, before Southampton, I didn't think they'll finish top 4 because I still think they'll suspect defensively, as I've seen them in other games, which is typical of a Brendan Rodgers team anyway. But I think now... It sends shockwaves across the league, knowing that Leicester have the potential, if they get things right and going forward, to do damage to teams.
Cool. Very quick update on fantasy football league this week. Yep. So Smudgers FC is top of our league with a game week of 57 points, and he has a total of 570. But who's in second place on his neck? Huh? Who's on his neck?
What, you?
Come on! With a game week of 84 points. Put some respect on my name. Started from the bottom and I'm second. You know what I mean? I'm coming through. 84 points. Boom! I'm on his neck. So big up, Smudgers, but I'm coming for you. In our other separate league, G, we had a face-off, didn't we? It was me and you.
Oh,
face-off.
I don't recall. It's so long ago.
Before we get to that, G, you've moved down on our fantasy football league to...
All right.
You are...
Julie, you won't find me, so don't waste your time.
No. I'm coming to you next. G, you've gone down to 27th.
Okay. What's that out of, like, 200?
That's out of 39.
What?
Yeah. That's 39, mate. So this is... It's awful. And Basil, so you are... Where are you?
37th. I know.
You are 38th. You are 38th. What? Second to bottom. Brilliant.
So we've got someone mid-table.
So come on, lads.
People
up your game.
Thinking, is he really qualified to speak on Emery?
Who do you choose as captain?
And Emery's on Twitter. I might tweet in this league and show him where you are about your Emery out. So well done to me. Another fantastic week on Fantasy Football League. Just 4 points behind Spudgers FC. So I'm on your neck. Right. Let's just wrap up, guys, with two things. Have you got your player you would love the modern day football fan to see now who has since retired?
Did you say retired?
They can't be playing anymore.
For me, it would be Ian Robben. The reason why I say that, I don't think the Premier League got enough of his top quality while he was at Chelsea. He started off extremely brightly, and I think he had a few injury problems. And the end of his Chelsea tenure didn't really end as great as it should have. But then he went up a level at Bayern Munich.
Oh, geez.
And I just wish that from a Premier League standpoint, we got to see more of Ian Robben's quality. And even when he was at Real Madrid, he was underappreciated. He did well there, but he was underappreciated there. And you look at the exodus of players that left Real Madrid, from him to Van der Vaart to Schneider, they let a lot of quality players go. But Ian Robben, for me, was just... You knew what he was going to do, but... just the level to execute what he did, it was just sensational.
Is it fair to say that the modern-day Rob in the Premier League is Raheem Sterling?
I wouldn't say. I don't think he's as direct as Robin because of the style of play of City, where you hold the ball for 2 seconds, you pass and you move, whereas Robin is a bit more direct than Raheem Sterling. I think Raheem Sterling of old was just as direct as Robin, but the new and improved Raheem Sterling, I think he's added a few more facets to his game where he realises, I don't need to always dribble at players, I don't really need to take on players as much as I did.
You can mix it up a little bit.
Yeah.
Basil, just come on the pod this week. Arsenal obviously not doing too well. We was going to do Liverpool Tottenham, but... we're not. So we'll leave that one. I'm still basking in the glory of being second in our league. I'm buzzing. Jamie, it's mad because Jamie Vardy's my captain, and Leicester were 3-0 up, and he hadn't even got an assist.
Yeah.
So I was like, really? But then in the end, he came through with a hat trick and an assist. So
that's what annoys me too.
40 points before Saturday even came.
George, you know what? It's been a bad weekend for you, so enjoy the fantasy football.
That's all I got, G. That's all I got. On that note, yeah, check us out across all the socials, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And don't forget to give us a follow, a comment, and all that jazz on iTunes and Spotify as well. Until next week, peace.